Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am here to encourage you on this wonderful journey called a gift from God, life, for all the believers out there, eternal life. And to encourage you, with me is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah, also the wonderful co-host who's been holding the wheel, doing an excellent job.
Yes.
John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hello out there to all of our listeners. I just want to say thank you for your prayers. God answers prayers. Let the light of God's word shine upon you today. Remember that the Lord is singing over you. He is singing over you and celebrating you and looking forward to spending eternity with you. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this today to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. How are you doing? Well, you know, I'm just so excited to be back on the air today, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm wearing this morning.
I noticed it. I'm a little speechless. I'm a little concerned. Chris, are my eyes seeing what I'm seeing here? What's happening?
Yes, you are.
Yes, we're taking pictures.
Yeah, and it's so good to have Chris with us this morning. Yeah, I'm actually that's for you, Steve. Good morning, Steve in Pittsburgh. I am wearing a New Orleans Saints. I think all they make is T-shirts. I don't think they make anything else.
What has happened?
They make other stuff.
It's just for some reason mine's not as stylish as or as faded as theirs.
We're gonna have to fix that. I just can't believe you.
Can you believe Donna got this for my birthday?
Oh my goodness!
Wow,
oh my
goodness! Bless her heart.
Season tickets would have been good too, wouldn't it?
Oh,
at least right now.
To watch the team.
Yeah, I would have had to sell those earlier ones. I heard you found the New Orleans Saints fan in Patterson, huh?
I found him. Amazing. Rich. Good morning, Rich. You're listening this morning.
So he, did he live there or was it just like a drive-by or something?
I believe he was just visiting.
Yeah, I don't know how a t-shirt can keep you warm in New Jersey, man. These t-shirts they have.
Oh, no, it wasn't T-shirt. He had jersey, hat, and he was the whole...
Did he know where he was?
That's what I was like, you know.
Was he lost?
That don't even make sense.
He didn't seem from he was around the parts.
Yeah. One of those southern gentlemen up in the northern lights up there. Well, my goodness, here we are. I just really enjoyed listening to you yesterday, John. I was so encouraged what you shared. And, man, what was shared... Sunday, you know, it was powerful.
That's good.
So powerful. And hopefully you'll share some more with us about, you know, what God's laying on your heart, you know, about the realities of hell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing, you know, how many people believe. What percentage of people believe there's hell?
71%.
And what percentage believe they're going there?
Just half.
A half of a percent.
Of 1%.
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
Man, and Jesus taught more about, he's warned us more about hell than anything else because he doesn't want us to go there. The whole point of Jesus coming is to keep us out of hell.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
And he's so loving, he's so kind. I mean, that was his whole purpose is to save us from eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like we become, he steers us away from eternal damnation.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We're born into sin. We're conceived into sin, and my goodness, hopefully we'll make that available on VFN TV. You got to One thing the enemy does, and whatever is you need to hear about, he will either water it down, mm-hmm. or he'll act like that just vocabulary doesn't even exist. He just makes it like it's not going to happen, mm-hmm. or it's not real. It's just some figment of your imagination.
Right.
And so many people are going to be devastated on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we're here.
That's right.
You know, we're mm-hmm. here on VFN Radio. We're not, you know, obviously we have a good time, you know, but we're here to let you know that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. His intentions are good for you.
Yeah.
And we could be doing anything. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to be here talking to you and encouraging you and letting you know how much we love God, right. how thankful we are for Jesus and what he did for us. And we just wanted to share, you know, with you, if you haven't met him yet, you need to meet him. It's very important, you know, and it's not about, you know, getting out of hell free card. It's about a relationship, but it's an awesome relationship.
Yeah, it sure is.
They got the creator of the universe, is in love with you.
Mm.
And his whole plan from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, when he created the garden, created man, mm-hmm. was to commune and have this relationship with us.
Mm-hmm.
And where he would rule in the heavenlies and we would rule on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, everything was cool up until the time that, you know, they sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sinned and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, at that point we became separated from him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And but prior to that, it was eternity. At that point, you know, man was going to live forever and have this relationship with God, and you know, God would come down in the evening and just stroll with Adam and talk about his day and just this you're created for relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
You're created. We're created. We have to learn how to think about what's being taken today from mankind is relationship.
Mm. Right.
I mean, a lot of people say they have one.
Mm.
You know, but the thing is it's especially because of sin nature, it's mm-hmm. really difficult to you have to stay on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously Adam and Eve didn't stay on top of it.
Right.
Mm-mm.
But man was created to live forever with God in relationship. But when they sinned, they ate from the tree that he said, you can do anything you want to here, but just don't do this one thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because of sin nature, you know, of course they did. And when they fell, everybody fell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at that point on, when we were born in a fallen state.
Yeah.
And obviously that wasn't God's plan.
Mm-mm.
And so what he did was he had a plan to redeem us, bring us back from the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a plan to you know, get out of hell free card. We all fell when mm-hmm. Adam fell and Eve fell. We fell.
Yeah.
And we were hell bound. Where it was just weeping and gnashing of teeth and horrific things. And so God wanted to make a way so that wouldn't be our destiny. But still, since he gave us the authority, we have our own personal authority. Every one of us has authority.
Mm-hmm.
We had to buy in. We had to say yes. We had to use the authority that he gave us to say that is the way. When we hear about Christianity and being a Christian, is the new way, the way.
Mm-hmm.
What they're talking about, that Jesus is the only way out of this predicament.
That's
he's
right.
the only way. But see, he is the way. So what does the enemy do? The enemy starts coming up with all kinds of religions and
mm-hmm.
and they'll even throw Jesus in there and call him a prophet or something.
Mm.
But yeah. he's not you know, some religion's prophet. He's God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God
yes.
the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he was with God before the foundations of the earth. But let me tell you this, you were on God's heart before the foundation of the earth. I mean, he mm-hmm. loves you. But Jesus loved the Father so much, his Father, our Father, and he loved you so much that he was willing to get us out of this dilemma, this hellbound dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So he was willing to come down and be born brand spanking new, just like we are as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was so man that he had to nurse from his mother Mary's breast. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't even, she had to bring him to her. Mm-hmm. But he was so God, he produced the milk that came out of her breast.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
But he was willing to take that weak state, to take on the form of man, and to walk in the dilemma without walking as Adam and Eve did, as we did, and fall.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. He went from a brand new babe, walked through childhood, walked through his teen years. You know, he obeyed. He did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived his life understanding that it's not just for this life alone, but it's for eternity, because he knew before the foundations of the earth what our destiny is.
Mm-hmm.
And what God's destiny was for all mankind prior to the fall of man. And he wanted us to come in. He wanted to recapture the relationship that was lost in the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hell has brought so many lies and so much religion and so much anything but a relationship and an understanding that God loves you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear about your day. He wants to hear about what you're going through. He wants you to reason with him and talk to him. And he already knew your sin before you even understood it was sin. And mm-hmm. but he made a way for that to come out of that. I mean, it's amazing. And that hell is real. We were all bound for it until we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. We didn't just believe.
That's right.
You know, mm-hmm. as you were saying, John, when you were talking about that on VFN TV, that, you know, we make Jesus the Lord of our life.
That's right.
But why would you not? I mean, why would you not want the very one that's giving you the air to breathe, that forgives your sins and gives you eternal separation from hell?
Yeah.
You know, that you can live with God forever, where there's no more sickness, no more disease, and knowing, and everybody wants to be loved, and you have that perfect love coming from God, and you can love him back, and it's just like, ooh, it's just.
Well, Proverbs says, what a man desires is unfailing love. And I always say, well, who can love you like that? I
mean, yeah, right.
The world
yeah.
will reject you. The world will kind of spit you out. They'll hold things against you, what you've done sometimes, and you know what? But God loves you with an unfailing love, unconditional, with, you know, I like to say with pimples and all, you know what I'm saying, all our defects, he still says, you know what, I love you. I say that for my, you know, teenagers, not so I get some pimples, you know, but you know what I mean. It's just with all of our shortcomings, God says, I still choose, I still love you just the way you are.
And that's so important, because, you know, while we were yet at our worst state, God was at his best state and making a way for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He made a way for us. And so then the enemy begins to cause us in our own nature to say, okay, how do I keep this thing? Now God's given me, I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. Now I'm going to have to force myself. And all of a sudden you become religious instead of relational. You become dependent on your own strengths and abilities and your religious works, instead of on the empowerment that comes through your total dependency on what Jesus did on the cross, that empowers the Holy Spirit to do things through you that you couldn't do in yourself. It's not that you don't do right. It's the fact that it's the Holy Spirit doing right through you when you lay yourself down at the cross of Christ and put your total trust in him for a relationship. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. That's why we're here. That's why we painstakingly have laid the foundation, because we want to tell you that. We want to encourage you on this journey. We want you to know that if God is for you, who can be against you? We want you to know, if you tried every religion in the world, but you haven't tried relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, now's the time. Today's the day. That's why you're listening. This is a divine encounter. You couldn't do it alone. Jesus did it for you. And when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, don't go back trying to do it alone. Come into his body, the full body of Christ. Find yourself a body of believers, other brothers and sisters in the Lord who love God, who've made him the Lord of their life, and who desire to follow his ways. That's just amazing. Totally amazing, you know, what God has done for us. So I would encourage you this morning, you know, as today, that, you know, as we're talking, and having this conversation, it's to encourage you. And the enemy does everything he can do to discourage. Think about it. Disrespect. Discourage. So you got courage. But when you put dis in front of it, that takes away your courage. All of a sudden, you don't have the courage to be a father anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't have the courage to be a mother anymore. You don't have the courage to go to be faithful at your job anymore. You don't have the courage to just do what it takes in life.
That's right.
And it's because the enemy's discouraging you. I want to put courage in you. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, not discourage you. I want to encourage. I'm going to put courage in you and say that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. This same God that was with Moses is with you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Understand that even though what it looks like today and what's happening in the realm, you're just looking at prophetic fulfillment. And God told us this before the foundation. God prepared this before the foundation of the earth. These things are coming to pass. He said they would. He said, don't even be troubled over it. He says, these things must happen, but don't worry about it because I've overcome all this.
That's right.
Just powerful. Just so powerful. Mm-hmm. So we can be encouraged when everybody's discouraged.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Isn't that powerful?
Very, very.
And if something's got if the enemy really has a good hold of somebody in their discouragement, that the enemy will start using that person, their tongue, their mouth, their actions, and they'll do so many different things. They're held captive to do as well. And they're trying to do is to get the same spirit of discouragement that's on the enemy has on them. Now he's actually using them to try to spread it. You got to say, don't think so.
Exactly.
Right. You know, if I want to be discouraged, I could have had that conversation with Satan myself. You know?
Yeah.
I choose to believe Jesus.
Right. That's right.
You know, I'm going to celebrate. I don't care what's going on because this life is just a momentary vapor.
That's it.
Anyway, we're just living it for God.
That's it.
It worked. Somebody says, well, how could that be? It's like, just like Paul said, he said that, you know, I am caught up between, I don't know if I want to be here with you guys or I want to be with God in heaven. You know, I want to be in the presence of God. I'm just kind of tired. Well, I'll tell you what, as long as I'm here, I'm going to be here for him.
That's right.
I'm going to be, if what I do, I'm going to do for him.
When you think about life is just a vapor.
Yes.
I mean, so the Bible says you're here today and before you know it, you're going to be gone tomorrow. And I like what Leonard Ravenhill says. He says, stamp eternity on your forehead. Because we're going to be around for eternity. Now, where we're going to be for eternity, you know, for forever, it determines on the choices that we make today. But what we believe of the afterlife, what we believe about heaven, what we believe about Jesus or hell, will determine what we do now. And we have a great opportunity to live for God and to choose God.
That's exactly it. And you think about just you know, as you get older, this is something that happens, but I also believe that it's happening, that time is speeding up.
Yes.
I mean, talking about a vapor, 2012 was a vapor.
Blink.
Yes, it was.
I mean, just a vapor.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It was, I mean, you know, we've worked hard, you know, we've labored, and we've all did what we needed to do, but we believe what God is leading us to do. But if we didn't, if we would have paused for one moment, we would have missed 2012. How many days do we have? What, 50 days left of 2012? Maybe?
Yeah, if that.
Maybe
yeah,
45 that. Days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how quickly it's going and how many things are being fulfilled. I mean, you got to take time. You have to force it to be in compliance with the will that God has for you in your life. It's not going to wait for you. Time waits for no one.
For no man.
And when we move outside of this thing called time into eternity, we'll either have regrets. Oh, we'll have, whew, praise God.
That's
you know,
right.
that I did something with the gift of time that he gave me. Because
right.
now we're living in a linear, limited thing called time. But God exists outside of time. And we're going to be going, upon our death, we're going to go be spending that time with him unless he comes back right now for us. Come quickly, Lord.
Either way.
Either way. And I don't understand why, you know, Christians would even be. This is how you know that we've messed it up and we have to reboot the message of the kingdom of God and of Jesus. Why would you be upset if a believer has left this life? Because to be absent from this body is to be present with God. I mean, they're in the streets of glory. They're standing in the presence of God. I mean, everything the lover of their soul
That's right.
Mm. Is they're with him.
Come on.
I never could get, why are you, why, this is our goal.
That's right.
Our goal is to pass from this life and live. He says, Paul said, if we're living for this life alone, and that's why you see so many people discouraged, they're living for this life alone. Mm-hmm. He said, we should be pitied more than anyone else.
That's right.
And you think about it. We're not living for this life. We're living for eternity. We need to work like Jesus is not going to come back for 100 years, but live like he's coming back today.
Mm-hmm. And he can.
I know.
Listen, God can come back any time. You know, I mean, and the question is, you know, are we ready? We want to be ready. And I'm excited, you know, to, like you said, to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is our aim. This is our goal. It's the reason why we're living.
And that's a gift. You know, when you go through things, you know, or maybe the doctor gave you some news, or it seemed like they say, hey, you have so many days to live. Mm-hmm. And you go through this whole process of that, and then God heals you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or you go into war, like a lot of our men and women went and stood for us and through Iraq and Afghanistan and other places in the world. And they came so close to death.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
ones that they cared for, they fall alongside of them. They saw their life taken from them, and they asked questions like, well, that really should, why wasn't that me? Why was that him instead of me? I mean, we're only a couple feet away. We're only one different truck away. But they have this encounter with the reality that life is not forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider that a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a gift when you know that this could be your last breath.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a gift when you understand that time is limited. It's young, you know, young, youthful, children, yeah. they feel that, you know, life is forever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And of course, you know, all ages, you know, you never know when your number is going to be called.
Right.
But understand this, that life's not forever here in this state, but mm-hmm. it is forever beyond this state.
That's right.
And no matter what your choice is, but it's if you choose Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of your life,
mm-hmm.
the lover of your soul, the one who not only understands your sin, but will forgive your sin.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He understands, because right. it wasn't that God did not understand. He didn't know the answer. It wasn't mm-hmm. that he didn't know the answer when he had a plan to be able to bring salvation to us through his son, Jesus Christ. He just didn't, he didn't understand the question, because
mm-hmm.
he never experienced sin.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it like? What's it like to experience sin?
Right.
And to be able to empathize with us, he had to understand, connect to empathy is being able to get in somebody's shoes and walk it out. Well, God sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus came and walked in our shoes to be able to empathize with us. We don't have a high priest. We don't have a Lord who's unable to connect with us and empathize with us. But we have one that relates to us in everything. Yeah, your stuff and my stuff and their stuff and all this stuff, you know, the sin in the world. But yet, he experienced it all. He was tempted in every way.
Yeah.
But the one thing different was he didn't fall like Adam fell.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't sin.
Mm-hmm.
He's like the second Adam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The first Adam didn't make it, but the second Adam made it, not only made it for himself, but made it for all of us.
That's right.
And it's amazing that now when he walked and he was experiencing, what's it like to be weak? What's it like to be enticed? What's it like for people to accuse you and to blame you? And when you're Emmanuel, you're God in the flesh, and they call you Satan, what's it like to be beaten and all these different things? Mm. I mean, he was tempted in every way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hello, religious folks out there.
Yeah, come on.
In every way, but he just didn't sin. So he had the answer. Obviously, the answer was God.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to deal with the sin issue, but he understood the question when he knows what it's like, how this pressure is on us. And it's this thing that's pushing on us and just, again, is relentlessly pushing on us, second heaven and Satan and all the different things he's trying to do to entice our sin nature and our flesh. And the fact that we say no through the power of God, say no to, it's not the fact that we sin after we know the Lord, because, you know, he will forgive us if we confess our sins. It's the very fact of the times that we don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's the fact that, wow, you know, I've gone a week. I've gone a month. You know, if you're going to, I don't even want that anymore. And God, you're transforming me. That's the miracle.
That's right.
Of what God does. You no longer are running from sin. You're just running to God, and you can't wait to spend time with him when you understand it's about relationship. Mm-hmm. Yes, the benefit is that we don't go to eternal damnation. We don't go to the lake of fire. We don't go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth forever in total separation from God. But we go to be with God forever in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Who loves us?
Mm.
Who will be glad to see us?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Who transforms us? And the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away. And you think about Jesus and how amazing he is. The fact that, you know, from my own personal experience, you know, where he's brought me from, and he's still growing. But
it's amazing,
look at that,
isn't it?
Yeah. Think about Pap. We won't even go there. But
isn't it amazing?
But you think about it, you say, God, you're just so amazing and so beautiful that you know, you can bring us through from the depths of just darkness and sin and we can have such hope, not only in the life to come, but right now. I mean, it's all about relationship and having him in our life.
It makes you just want to go now. But you know what? I'm going to hang around as long as if it's in the Lord's will. And I'm going to talk to you, and we're going to share our hearts with you on VFN Radio and VFN TV. We're going to talk to you every day by God's grace, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're going to tell as many people as possible about this good news that we've been talking to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Share this with your friends. Share it with your family. Listen, you don't need to be entertained anymore. Come on. You need to have a relationship about eternity.
Yeah.
You need to be reminded on a daily basis about the love of God, because you're being bombarded on an hourly basis by the deceiver, by the one who doesn't want you to walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what VFN Radio is all about.
Mm.
This is why we wanted to let you know that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. Listen, the sin issue has been dealt with on the cross of Christ. The religious issue has been dealt with on the cross of Christ. And there's a relationship that's longing for you. If you have not yet made the decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today is your day. This moment is your time. And if you haven't done right now, just say, Jesus, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
I want you. I want who Greg and John and Pat and Chris are talking about. I want you. I want that Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Just cry out to him saying, Lord, I want you. Here I am. I want to make you the Lord of my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even to help you out, you can go to meetmyfather.org. Why? Because the whole ministry of Jesus was to make the Father known. That's what we're trying to do with this moment. We want to make him known to you. His plans are good for you. He has good plans in store for you, plans to bless you and to prosper you. The enemy's just working overtime to confuse that. But listen, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. The blessing's there waiting for you to decide where you're going to be. You can go to meetmyfather.org. He's good. There's no one like him. We'll be right back in just a moment.
There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. Mm-hmm. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do, okay? And I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. okay? Religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross, okay? The cross has benefits, okay? There's great benefits to Christianity, but Jesus got on it, and he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, where we're not just talking about it. We're doing it. VFNfamily.org.
Steve, Pat, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, mm-hmm. and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense. Right. Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive. Mm-hmm. That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial.
Mm.
It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back mm-hmm. seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved.
And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the second half of the first hour is Pat, John, and Chris. Man, that was just something, wasn't it? We were talking about the love of God and, you know, that to be encouraged. If you missed the first part of this hour, you got to get it because you want to be encouraged. As a matter of fact, you probably want to, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but you can get not only, of course, the application for VFN Radio and VFN TV, but you can, we podcast it out as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually have a podcast where it downloads into your phone automatically. You set that up, you can go to VFNTV.com and check that out. And imagine having a conversation that encourages you sitting on your mobile device, sitting on your computer at any moment. I'm telling you, this first part of today's program will encourage you. You need to hear it often. Since you hear discouragement so much, you need to hear encouragement. You know, often, normally, when you need encouragement the most, you're going to find more dis than in.
Yeah.
But if you prepare for that and understand that these days would come, then you're going to be able to go to and listen to the right God perspective of encouragement, and you'll be encouraged. If you missed it, go back and listen and share it with your friends. Listen, God has a plan for you. You know, I don't. You know, the word naive, I don't know if you, there's a particular water out there that who would have ever thought that you could take water and you could bottle it.
I know.
And you could sell it for $1, $1.25, something like that. I mean, do you imagine what our grandfathers You know, they would be shocked. You mean to tell me that you pay a dollar for, I don't know, 8 ounces, 16 ounces of water?
A dollar, more than that.
You know, I can see the meeting right now. They're thinking, do you think, really, come on. We can't, I can understand if we put sugar in it and we call it Coke, you know, and acid. Or, you know, we put, you know, something in there, but you just can't sell plain water.
Right.
He said, this is, I can see the meeting right now. Listen, people, you know, and I buy the water, it's the portability of the water. I'm talking about, you know, all of us who drink a bottle of water. And he said, people, I'm sure this is not, I'm just telling you, I'm just imagining this being there, this meeting. People are not that naive. People are not going to be that naive that the thing they can get for free out of a spigot, you know, they're not going to pay a buck 50, a buck and a quarter. He says, listen, I'm just telling you, I mean, I wasn't there, but I can hear it. This is it. This is exactly what they'll do. And as a matter of fact, just to prove it, we will call this bottle of water naive. We will even call it naive. We'll just spell it backwards and call it Evian. And people will pay a buck for it. You think about that.
Amazing.
When you naive spelled backwards is Evian, which is a particular brand of bottled water.
Wow.
It's been around for quite some time. Yes, I have a bottle of water in front of me right now. and it was just amazing. I mean, and so when you think about naive, you know, what does naive mean? You know, it means, you know, having or showing unaffected simplicity of nature. Are people that simple that they would really go buy it in a bottle for a buck versus getting it for free out of a tap? Or absence of or unsophisticated, having or showing a lack of experience, judgment, having or marked by a simple mindset. And it's just basically just easily pull the wool over their eyes.
Right.
But I like to spell it, you know, like nigh, near something, you know, naive. Let me think about N-I-E-V-E, naive. And the thing about it is, you know, to me, it comes from, and I always feel that it comes from how Eve in the garden, that she was naive. She was naive. And Eve was naive because she thought she could have a conversation with evil.
Right.
She thought that even though I walk with God, even though God created me and formed me and I stroll with him in the evening of the day and think about it, that I'm so naive that I can talk with the devil and there'll be no ramifications with it. I can negotiate with evil. And it's for some reason, the smarter men get, the more intellectual we get, the more learned we get, the more degrees we get behind our name. You know, we have a tendency to go, you know, I just need to talk to them. And you think about it, how can you be so smart and so naive at the same time? You know, naive.
Right.
Because we keep trying to, and I'm talking, of course, to the church, we put our hopes in someone negotiating with evil. Instead of just putting our hopes in God. Yes, right now Israel is under major crisis.
Right.
You know, it's, you've already been, if you've been hearing already on VFN radio, and they're surrounded by a people who are held captive, not everybody, but the governments around them and the religion around them wants to destroy them. And they have many times negotiated with this enemy who says very specifically that their goal is to eradicate the earth of every Jew,
right?
To destroy them, to push them into the sea. And you sit back in shock when you think they're going to negotiate with these guys again. They're going to negotiate with them again. I'm saying that because President Obama just sent Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to go negotiate right now, because you have Gaza and you have Israel. And Gaza's, of course, firing since 2001. I believe it's over 8,000 rockets just this year. It's like 1,200 and now it's just every day they're dropping shooting these missiles into to Israel. And So she's coming in, and she's first going to talk with Benjamin Netanyahu, according to what they're talking, the prime minister of Israel. But then they're going to go to Egypt, and they're going to negotiate in Egypt. Mm. And they're answering, you know, Morsi, the president that we helped get there.
Yep. Right.
Who was a part of the Muslim Brotherhood, is going to negotiate on behalf of Hamas.
Yeah.
But think about it. That's trying to negotiate with evil. Their goal, their plan is to destroy you if you're a Jew and if you're a Christian. And it's evidence of it. If you look right now at this Arab Spring that blew over, it was not some spring for the Christians. It wasn't some spring for the Jews, but it was a spring for Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of an Islamic spring. I mean, that would be probably more appropriate, because immediately the first thing that happens when that whole evil thing gets there, it begins to persecute the Jews and the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
It's JJ. If you haven't heard JJ yet, you got to go back and hear that and on the VFN Torch. But understand this, that don't put your hopes in the Secretary of State going there to negotiate with evil. Understand that just like Eve thought she could have a conversation with the devil and come out on the good side, it ended with the fall of man.
Mm-hmm.
And how did Jesus, I mean, think about it, WWJD, what did Jesus negotiate with evil? How did he handle evil? Well, let me tell you what he did. He cast it out.
Mm.
He said, shut up.
Mm.
You know, he said, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
He bound it. He didn't talk with it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't let it even talk.
Right.
And he lived, this is very important, he lived a life that was without sin. Because he said, Satan found nothing in me.
Mm.
Now, we can go to the cross and deal with our sin at the cross and begin to walk through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, a life that's separate than sin. And if we do sin, we immediately deal with it so that we can say, you can't find nothing in me.
That's right.
Because we have a lot of people that are binding, people that are being very religious, where they do religious things, and sometimes they work.
Mm.
Yeah, Lord, Lord, did our ministry not work?
That's right.
He says, but I never knew you. And so, but the thing is that we can't have the sin in our heart and our life and deal with evil.
Mm.
And if we're trying to negotiate with evil, if we're really trying to, and that's what's happening right now, we've got so far away from the reality. Evil is evil. Mm-hmm. It is so evil. And we don't, America right now, we really, you know, this generation doesn't really understand evil.
Mm.
You know, past generations have a closer clue, and the further back you get, there's more closeness to the reality of them understanding, you know, evil, because evil exists.
Mm.
But you can't negotiate with it. You can't say, let's just sit down and talk. Listen, if your premise is, before we sit down, that you want to destroy me and kill me, and you're publicly telling the world that you want to push me into the sea, I don't have much to say to you.
Right.
Mm.
Because it's stupid.
Right.
I know I'm only buying time. I'm trying to manage this evil. And so many believers begin to have that conversation that we take on a naive spirit and we act like it's no big deal. And we start saying, listen, I can handle so-and-so, knowing that that particular person's goal is to destroy the church, is to break up that family, to destroy someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to talk with it. You're going to have a conversation with it like Eve That's did.
Right. Yeah.
Or you're putting your hopes in the fact that Secretary of State is going to go and talk with Benjamin Netanyahu and the Prime Minister of Israel and then go negotiate in the Muslim Brotherhood presidency in the Egypt that is already walked in support of Hamas, and Hamas is a terror group.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, and it's specifically, it was stated on the Blaze television when they were studying, you can see this also on VFN, on the VFN Torch, that that it said that allegedly that Hamas is the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they're playing both sides at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's so naive to think that the person they're actually financing the missiles that are going over there, and they're just, the ultimate goal is to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's the goal of evil. And we have to begin to refocus our lives again as Christians, as believers, and stop trying to negotiate with evil. What does that mean? It means evil people are not your friend.
Mm-hmm.
It means Satan and his captives are not going to talk well about you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Quit trying to make everybody your friend and negotiate with evil and make God your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And when God's your friend, people who don't live for God, people who negotiate or let they're taken captive by evil, they're not going to be your friend.
That's right.
They're not going to talk well about you. They're not going to write well about you. They're not going to post well about you. Their conversations that they have about you is not going to be good. Why? Because Satan's speaking through them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And right now, as we speak, you know, the Secretary of State's going to I thank God for our president when he publicly said, even though it's both sides, where he's the one that helped empower the Muslim Brotherhood to come in power right. in Egypt and all the things going on. But at least he publicly said at the same time, out the other side,
yeah.
he said, you know, that it's right for Israel to defend herself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I'm cool. You know, hey, that's we'll, good because I'm
sure. We'll take it.
I think Israel was going to do it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And, but understand that we can't be naive.
Mm-hmm.
And we've become naive. The church has become naive. And we just say, what's the big deal about watching this evil thing? Mm-hmm. What's the big deal about hanging out with this evil corrupt company?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what's the big deal about me stepping outside of God's authority to go negotiate with someone who's trying to destroy God's authority?
Mm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just need to talk to him a little bit. I'll have a conversation with him. What? Eve tried that. The fall of man came.
Right.
But the thing is that we have victory over how we can only deal with evil rightly. When we walk the way that Jesus walked,
mm-hmm.
The binding, the loosing, the casting, the shutting it up
mm-hmm.
comes successfully when we walk around with our sin dealt with.
That's right.
That we confess our sins, we repent. We say, and right now, this is the answer to the world right now is Jesus Christ. And that will be manifested through the church when the church begins to walk rightly before God.
Yeah.
We don't need to get a debate club together to go debate, you know, radical Islam.
Right.
We need mm-hmm. to understand that it's evil. It's antichrist. It's an antichrist religion. Mm-hmm. They say that Jesus is not the Son of God.
Right.
How are you going to negotiate with that? What are you going to say? What are you going to do? I mean, I think it's good that somebody tells you up front that's what they believe in. But if you're naive enough to go sit down and negotiate with somebody and thinking that anything else is going to come out of that other than evil, you're just naive. And listen, naive doesn't end well. Ask Adam and Eve.
Hello.
And evil is just evil.
Right.
And, you know, and being naive is to think, well, you know, that wouldn't happen to me. That wouldn't happen to America. You know, America will stand forever. You know, the great Dust Bowl that happened, you know, like 46 states experienced the great Dust Bowl, you know, in the 30s, mm-hmm. right after the stock market crashed in 1929.
Oh, wow.
And it became almost like a Sahara Desert across America.
Mm.
And it was just a famine.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it was just dust. It was like just dust. They called mm. the great Dust Bowl. And people were dying and listen, this stuff happens. This stuff happens. You know, FDR had to develop several different things to be able to get through America through the difficult times. It looked like a time of judgment that came on America in the 20s and the 30s. And it came on the heels of Woodrow Wilson's stuff, that the progressive concept where they're replacing God with so many different things. And it's like, if we could just learn from, if we will stop being naive about history, that we can learn, hey, you know, they did this and this happened. Let's don't do that if we don't want that to happen.
That's right.
We can borrow the experience.
We can borrow it instead of actually having to buy it. And once you walk into the consequences of bad decisions and negotiating with evil, you know, we will have to go through a long lesson process of classes that you don't want to attend with grades you're going to have to get to come out of it that maybe only your grandchildren will get to experience the passing grade. But for our generation, it could end very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this, when you look at the suffrage that happened in the 30s, it was just horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like all around us. It's prophecies being fulfilled left and right. And we are not the best thing that we could do was to stand up for the whole world and say, listen, knock it off. leave Israel alone. And the ships that we're bringing in right now, and this is where our president's doing right now. He's bringing ships in the Mediterranean to evacuate Americans if it starts getting bad inside of Israel. Wow. Instead of that, we should be bringing our carriers in and saying, you know, we are here to be able to support Israel. You don't want to mess with Israel, because you mess with Israel, you mess with us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it's naive to think, and any of us to have trust in this very truth, that thinking that you can negotiate with the Antichrist spirit.
Fool me once, shame on me. You know, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Exactly. Exactly. And so with that, understanding this, that we cannot put our hope. I mean, you think about it. You know, Avi was just letting us know that these missiles are coming in to Tel Aviv. And they're having to jump out of their cars and run up under covering, and mm-hmm. you have like 15 seconds to move once they start missiles coming in, and only some of them are being stopped, and some of them are not coming through. But understanding that our hope is not in negotiating with evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's not our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and living rightly before Him. Listen,
right.
It's time for us as the church to stand up. We need to find out what's right.
Mm-hmm.
We need to walk in the way that Jesus walked, the empowerment of the cross of Christ, and say, you know what? You know, we can get through this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do this. We need to stand up. And understanding that right now, that our America's planning on evacuating Americans from Israel. And some of the, I had it up here where I could show it to you. But on the VFN Torch, you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and click in the menu, you'll see Preparing for the Perfect Storm. And in that is where John Paul Jackson's sharing prophetically things that have happened already that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And some of the prophetic words, the headlines that God has shown him basically, is the fact that it's not going to be some serious things are going to happen in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Israel says, if missiles hit Jerusalem, Mecca will be hit within minutes.
Mm.
That's what Mecca will. So if you hit Jerusalem, Mecca mm-hmm. will be hit in minutes. Mecca, of course, is where the head of Islam is where they go and have their you see them marching around Mecca and the hole in the ground. And understanding that listen, these are serious times,
mm-hmm.
very serious times. And right now, the word I'm hearing on my heart is the words crater.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I feel like if you mess with Israel, there's going to be a crater over in the Middle East somewhere. I don't know if the crater will be Gaza. I don't know if the crater will be. Crater is when all the dirt is removed and there's a big hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
What once was there is not there anymore. There's going to be a crater. And one particular prophetic headline that he has as well was about they're using weapons that they're amazed they didn't think they had.
Mm.
So listen, when you mess with Israel, you know, you're messing with the apple of God's eye, and it's not going to end well. We can't be naive. Listen, we may drink the water,
mm-hmm.
you know, from Evian, but we cannot be naive like Eve did. It's time for us to stand up for what's right. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.